It's my honor tonight, once again, to have this man of God with us. And you be ready for anything. After tonight, no telling how long that you'll be here at the altar, but you be sure tonight you testify to somebody about what God is doing. And tomorrow night, don't you come alone. I have seen miracles. I want to tell one story. Years ago when Robbie was here, and I was sitting right there, there was a lady behind us. And it had been one of the most tragic family breakups in this city. And the whole city knew about it. Robbie prophesied to that lady. She had come because she was emotionally distraught. He looked right past me and he said to her, something like, this time tomorrow, your husband will return.
Jesus.
And I thought to myself, here's exactly what I thought. Are y'all ready for this? Mitchell, why'd you do that? Because I know him, but I'm like, why did you do that? Why didn't you just go over there and tell her that in her ear? Because if it doesn't happen, then we didn't all know it. Because I said to myself, oh, ye of little faith, he ain't coming home. Next night, I looked around. She was sitting here in the auditorium, and he hadn't come home. Robbie Mitchell started preaching, doing what he's doing. In the middle of the service, I'll never forget it, those doors right there burst open. And that man, that day, somebody had supernaturally witnessed to him. He gave his life to Jesus, and he didn't know where his wife was, and he didn't care where she was. But they came back right here, burst open the middle of service. Do you remember that? Burst open the middle, you don't even remember it. Burst open the middle of the service and were restored. And to this day, they are together right now. I like you, Robbie Mitchell, and I appreciate you being bold. Tonight, be bold. How many give him the permission to be bold here tonight? Come on. How many say, come on, you give him permission. All right, let's do this. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I forgot that. I'm going to be bold. Can I have your Lexus? I'm just kidding. Oh, she's got a Mercedes now. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. Lift your hand and love the Lord without any music or anything. In other words, just lift him up and we just tell him how much we love him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him. People are still coming in. It's going to happen tonight. It's going to happen tonight. Raise him up. Keep praising him. It's going to happen tonight. The church is now due. This church is due. I'm telling you. We're not going to dismiss tonight. If you need to go, you may go. We will not dismiss. We will not dismiss this service. If you must go, you must go. But please exit without interrupting anybody because of what's going to happen tonight, I believe. You may be seated. Appreciate all of you coming. I want to go ahead and get in the Word tonight. I feel like we need to. But I appreciate all of you again, Brother Maynard, Faith Pastor. I hadn't met you, I don't guess. Look forward to meeting you. You said Brother Michael, is that right? Michael Burton. Appreciate you and Brother Dwayne Maynard from Tag Church, west side of Little Rock, Holy Ghost. I've already told you about the church. Raise your hand if I'm telling the truth, Brother Randy. I discussed Tag Church with the presbyter, executive presbyter over all this area of the state of Arkansas. I told him today, Brother Maynard, I said, to keep your eye on Tag Church. He said, I know. I said, no, you really don't know. What I'm telling you now is keep your eye on that church in that part of Little Rock, all over Little Rock. Because it's happening, it's increasing, it's about to explode. I know some things Tag don't even know about themselves right now that he and I have already discussed. And in confidence, I'm quiet, but it's about to just explode like never before. Conway, Arkansas, Church Alive, very vibrant. You don't find many churches with the liberty we felt a while ago. You just don't. I wish I didn't have to say that. I wish I could say all of them are bouncing off the walls, seeing things happen. But, you know, I'm not in competition, but I'm just giving honor where honor's due. In the day we live in 2017, when a church will get with it and be ready and flow, I'm going to give it honor. I'm going to talk it up. I'm going to tell people to go there. Amen. I'm going to tell people that move there, you need to go there. Amen. So we want to be sensitive tonight, and we're going to ask you to follow us as we follow Christ in this altar. As we follow Christ in this altar tonight, to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord, what we're going to preach about tonight. This is key. This is key, what we're going to talk about tonight. It separates the men from the boys, and I often say the girls from the women in the spirit. I've always noticed this from the time I was a Lutheran coming in to the Spirit-filled church at 18 and a half years old. Born again, Spirit-filled after a water skiing accident, coming into the Spirit-filled circles. Did not know anything, but the voice of the Lord, before I even read through a portion of the Word, began to reveal himself to me, how he would speak and how he would direct my life and purge my life. And that's what kind of want to deal with tonight. Thank you for the offering. As Pastor said, get all this out of the way so we can go. Tomorrow night at 6:30, be expecting. Brother Randy and I are going to be working together. We're back together, and we're going to work different than we did back in 2088. I was with him at Harlan Park and on over 90-something, and then 2000. And we repented today in front of you that we've been 17, 16, 15 years. Maybe 2001 or two, I came back, had that three-week revival, but 3 or 4 weeks, but We've not stayed in touch. We're going to change that from now on. Amen. God has formed a friendship again. And last days, pastors need evangelists. We cutting edge preachers. Amen. We relevant. Dwayne, you and I talk about it. Cutting edge Holy Ghost preachers. We need one another. We're not in competition. We're in complementary spirit. We're going to complement one another. We're not going to compete. We're going to build up each other. We're going to bless each other spiritually, physically, financially, anything we can do to enhance the ministry of each other. Amen. Amen. So that's what we're going to deal with tonight. With only 3 services, we have already booked March. I had an opening in March. I'm coming back for a Sunday morning, Sunday night in March. He'll be telling you more about that. But right now, we're going to take a service at a time. In other words, dwell where we are. Tonight, tomorrow night, call everybody you know. It's not asking too much to come out, you know, for these 3 services. So please, a lot of people holler that they want a, you know, Pensacola type or a revival like that. They want a Pensacola. And I told someone a while back, after 33 years in evangelism, I didn't run into a lot of churches anywhere, north, south, east, or west, that could handle a Pensacola. Because a lot of churches you go to, seriously, in the day we live in, we're trying to correct it. They can't be faithful to a 4-service revival, much less a 5-year. From June, Father's Day, 1995 to 2000. See, what people don't understand that knocked it all the time, talked about it, and I wasn't a fanatic of it. I'm just telling you, I went and I honored it. But all I know is when I got there and I saw people from Japan there that bought airplane tickets come across the ocean, I'm not ignorant, brother, and I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual things. Something's up. There's a lot of people they won't even go to revival in their own town. They got on a plane, brought their family from South Korea, and I saw Japanese running everywhere that lived in Japan. I saw all this type of stuff, and I'm like, man, I saw people standing out. A lot of them walk or drive across the street to their own revival. And I saw people stand in line from 7 a.m. that morning till 7 at night, and it started raining. And they got an umbrella and stayed. And I told my wife, I said, I ain't knocking it. I've heard preachers bashing. I said, that's ignorance, man. I'm telling you right now. I had never seen anything like that before I got in the church service, before I got in there. And so a lot of people say they want, oh, brother, we want like that. You got to be faithful to a 3-service revival first before God can give you a 5-year. That's right. You got to be faithful, man. Amen?
Amen.
And I tell you, those people work jobs too. They wasn't on welfare or a big inheritance from their parents. They work jobs. Their kids went to school. And they cut it to a few nights here and there. But I'm telling you, man, it was amazing the what happened, but also the faithfulness of the people in the 90s. That was amazing. Open up to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 tonight as we get into this. Mark 1. Stay with us tonight. Let us finish this. And I'm telling you, as we get into this, I believe the Lord's going to show you some good things. Preachers that are here tonight, let him speak to you tonight. Mark chapter 1. Let me say this before I read this text. I've been doing a series. This is my third message I've prepared on this scripture. On this scripture, it'll be my third and final, but I wanted to preach this third one here tonight. I want you to understand, when I deal with the voice of God saying this is what separates us, this is where the sensitivity is. When all the singing and the preaching talks about being sensitive, and what sensitivity is all about is definitely, when I think about it, I'm talking about the voice of God. In the day we live in, if you're not sensitive to the voice, and it's not just reading the word, memorizing, and trying to do what it says. He does, of course, speak with his word. That's the reason I very seldom call it the Bible. Sounds like a book. I call it the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Good. Do you know the word of the Lord? Good. We know everything he has is invested in his eternal word. He framed the heavens with it. The sky, everything you and I can see, and all the much of it we can't see, most of it. He hung the world by his spoken word, and he spun the planet called earth. How? By his eternal word. He told with his eternal word, spin. And the earth began to spin. And because it's an eternal word, it will not stop spinning until that eternal word comes back and says, you can stop now. Right. All enlightenment on the heavens and earth shall pass away one day. It shall be renewed, renovated, as you and I know it now. All we have God doing before we read this text, God in the word is recorded doing one thing from Genesis to Revelation. He doesn't play tennis. Listen. Guys, I know you hate it, but he doesn't play golf. And he don't get on the side on a football team and decide which team he's going to be on, because nobody could ever beat him and win. And the problem with you praying for God to let somebody win is he got some of his children and children's children playing on the other team. And God will never go against himself. So we only have one thing recorded in the Bible that God does. He speaks. One thing it records him doing. And God said, let there be. All he ever does is speak. So the problem isn't voice. The problem is with the ears. He's constantly speaking, I believe it, by a sparrow flying, by an anointed preacher, by a little girl that gets up and testifies, says something in kindergarten. He's speaking to that classroom, but the ears will dull to hear. Even in the church, I've noticed since the 80s, early 80s, when I started in evangelism, the preachers, with all the busyness, because if the devil can't get you to be bad, he'll get you to be busy. The same devil that tempted me years ago to be bad is the same devil today in year 2017 that will tempt me to be too busy. When I was a bad boy, it dulled my hearing. As a preacher, if I become a busy boy, it dulls my hearing. Distractions become fatal. The fatality of distractive things is it hinders you from hearing his voice. There's an unction that John talked about, a holy unction in the book of 1 John. Unction, yes. Unction. When that unction speaks, it can happen when you're not reading the Bible.
That's it.
It can happen when you're reading the Bible. Yes. Learning that voice is what this is all about. The difference again in the men and the boys and the girls and the women is not just quoting something out of the Bible or pulling it off the internet and getting up, printing it, and preaching it, which is fine, but it's not that. It's the unction that he gives you when you're preparing the message, as well as the unction he gives you when you get up to preach it. A lot of people don't believe before the text that God speaks. I thought about the other day, just reminiscing, thinking, could this be the reason, even in our natural anatomy, the word of the Lord is speaking out to us? Could this be the reason that God gave us two ears, but only one mouth? Two ears, physically, one mouth. Because we bought the lie that all there is to praying is us rattling off something to God and stuffing it in. When many times prayer in the Bible, the men from the boys, is those that had an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So prayer is not always talking. Prayer, I tell them, shut your mouth every now and then. Say in the name of Jesus and listen, because there's a voice that's trying to speak. The devil does everything in his power to make his voice heard in this world. At one point, if you'll even remember it, our text, he had the audacity to interrupt Jesus while the Lord was speaking in the synagogue. Remember that Jesus is God. God was teaching in the synagogue. Not a man talking about God. God was in the synagogue at Capernaum. He was teaching, and this devil went to church. He cast the devils out of legion that had thousands of demonic spirits. At times, such as Mark 1, our text, this individual singular had one. So the number of the demons, the unclean spirits, didn't matter. Whether it was one, whether it was 6,000, he said, come out with his spoken word. Yes. They came out. It came out, or they came out. I made this statement a while back in a different message. I said, when it came to casting out devils, Jesus batted 1,000. None of them ever said no. He said, come out, it, or they said yes. Yes. Listen to me. He never missed. He batted 1,000 casting out demons, but he never could cast the religion out of anybody. We don't have a record of all the hellraisers, false accusers that came against him. None of them have ever changed. Every parable he taught, they heard some of them. The miracles he did, they saw it. What they saw and what they heard, you know why? Because they didn't hear it. They heard words coming out of God's mouth, but they didn't hear what I'm talking about in this message tonight. They didn't hear, like many of our preachers, Brother Long, I'm sorry, your friends and mine, over 30-something years. The problem with their ministry is they can't listen. They talk all the time. And they went, look at Mark 1, 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Listen, this devil, I know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace. In Arkansas language, in Texas, shut your mouth and come out of him. And the devil came out of him. Lay your Bible beside you just a minute. They tell us, I saw this on a talk show a while back, discussing dating, that the gold medal winner and the number one thing when a young man invites a lady out on a date, the number one thing they do before any physical contact, before any sexual act, before a kiss on the lips, before even holding a hand, the first thing they do is a dinner for two, please. They go out to eat. The number one date is when a man asks, in America, a man, not to the movie, that was in the top three or four. When a man asks a woman, would you like to go out and eat with me? but I don't want your mother coming. And my sister's not invited. I'm going to try to build something here and see if it's all possible. The intimacy will not start physically. The intimacy will start with a dinner for two, please. Tonight, the subject that's going to take this church to the next level is the title of the message, Dinner for Two. Using the voice of a man, Satan cried out loudly. He had one purpose in mind, to send fear throughout the entire congregation. He wanted every person within the sound of the voice in Mark 1 to cower in fear, to believe he had power and authority even as he was being cast out. Jesus warns the last day believers that Satan will come to them with a loud voice. He will try to bring fear. So what did Peter say in 1 Peter 5:8? This isn't a cliche, folks. He meant it. Be sober. You cutting-edge believers, relevance, be sober, be vigilant. Why, Peter? Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about on a planet called earth, not burning in hell, seeking whom he may devour. So here is my point. When people say to me, Robbie, are you serious? We got the written word of God. You mean to tell me that God still speaks? Do you really believe, Robbie, that God speaks? I'm telling you, it's all he ever does. All we have recorded him doing is finding something to say. He wants to speak the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, at tabernacle among us, even in Christ coming in the earth. When God wrapped himself up in the flesh of a man, he came to this earth. He called himself the word. All he wants to do is speak. And the Lord shall cause, Isaiah said in 30 verse 30, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. Since Adam and Eve, God has been speaking to man. Scripture says that from the very beginning, they heard the voice of the Lord God in Genesis 3:8. Adam said in verse 10, I heard thy voice in the garden. From Genesis onward, throughout the New Testament, God made his voice known to his people. Remember, we have specific things in the Bible we remember. He made his voice known and heard to Abraham. He made his voice heard when he wasn't reading anything to Moses. When Caleb didn't have anything in his hand, he talked to Caleb. He talked to Joshua. We have Samuel as a little boy hearing him, and David to righteous kings and judges. In the books of the prophets, we see this phrase repeated time after time. And God said, and God said. God's voice was known and understood. He always made his voice to be heard. Jesus confirmed this in the New Testament using the example of the Good Shepherd. Remember what he said in John 10, 3 through 5, specific red letter words, key words in the Bible. The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name. He leadeth them out, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. Why? For they know not the voice of the stranger. In the Bible, you will find in the Old Testament Hebrew, you will find the word for word is the same Hebrew word the majority of places for voice. So they're interchangeable. You go to the New Testament Greek, I thought it very interesting. In the New Testament Greek text, the original, the word for word is the same Greek word the majority of places for voice. So when he said, the prophet said, before there was ever anything in the Old Testament to read, and the prophet that was a true prophet would say, the voice of the Lord is coming to me. He was saying, I've heard the word of the Lord. When he said, the word of the Lord spake unto me, he was saying, I heard the voice, and God is going to use a man's vocal cords to now speak through you, because all that matters in the Old and New Testament, in the outcome of every story of the Bible, is that we understand the voice of God. Jesus said to Pilate, everyone is that is of the truth heareth my voice. The message to us is clear. If you have God's spirit in you, There is a possibility you can learn to have those ears to hear his voice. Yet we live in a day when many voices clamor for our attention. Paul warned, there are so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them are without signification or meaning. In other words, there are strange voices in the land. He told not the Catholic Church, but the Pentecost Church at Corinth, there are many strange, unusual voices. Interchangeable, there are many strange words in the land and many doctrines in the land, and none of them are without significant meaning. Every one of them has a why they say it behind what they say. So with the gifting of discernment, you must understand, you've got to know the truth. My sheep know my voice. Now you may wonder, how can I distinguish the voice of God from my own flesh? How can I be sure, Robbie, it's God speaking and not the voice of a tempting spirit? How do I know a devil talking to me? How do I know someone God sent that I don't need to listen to? One thing I want you to understand tonight ties into this morning. If you're living in sin, you will never hear God's voice. Let me say it again. I didn't say if you slipped up a little bit and repented in 30 seconds. I said this. If you are living, and this is not popular preaching, many have pulled this out of the text of the pulpit. If you are living in habitual sin that you are practicing, you will never, ever hear God's voice of direction in your life. You will feel conviction. There's a difference in feeling conviction and hearing the directing voice of God. If you're coddling some secret sin, you can be sure you don't want to hear his voice. Let me say it to you. If you're coddling something secret, you do not want to hear the voice of God. This is because you already know what he'll say to you, and you don't want to hear it. When Adam and Eve sinned, it brought shame. With that shame came guilt, fear, and condemnation. The shame in the Old Testament is called nakedness. In the Old Testament, being naked meant standing in God's presence clothed only with guilt. It said in Genesis 3, 9 through 10, and the Lord God called on Adam and said unto him, Adam, where art thou? He said, God, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam hid from God's voice at the apple tree situation because of guilt and shame of his sin. And that is exactly where many of our people are today. Our problem, hiding, afraid to hear God speak. The story you told, Brother Randy, when I spoke in your church years ago, looking over your shoulder at the woman and the husband came. There was probably people that did not come back the next night once they saw that man walking down the aisle. It's amazing how the gifts of the Holy Ghost are the voice of God when you don't have a script in your hand or any notes. And the voice of God speaking to you from another way, other than the Bible, will literally speak things that are specific. Let me tell you about the gifts of the Spirit, a sign that you need to understand in our day. They never rationalize. They do not rationalize.
That's right.
It's not, I see you here tonight, and $100 bills are floating all around you. Look at me. The voice of God is specific. God don't stutter. And when he speaks, you won't wonder what he says. A lot of our people talk, my God, we don't know what they say. But I'm telling you, when he speaks to you, it's a key identifying sign of the true voice of the Lord. He don't stutter. He's very specific. If you obey it, it will change your life. But you do still have a will. At the spoken, preach word of God, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. And when someone speaks for God in the gifts of the Spirit, you still do not have to do it. You got a will. You may have lukewarm Christian friends who don't like to go to church with you. You wonder why they don't go, because when you first met them, they were living carelessly. They were burdened with guilt and shame, but they weren't ready to give up their secret sin. When you brought them to your church, it was hot and heavy. Something was in the room. Preachers and people, worship leaders, whoever was saying something. Ushers at the back door, greeters were saying something. All of a sudden, they heard a baby cry out, learning to talk, and that baby said its first two or three words, and it was speaking to them. Mom and dad was goo-goo and everything else, but the Spirit of God used that baby to speak to your neighbor sitting two rows over. Listen to me what I'm saying. And they got uncomfortable. Where are you? What are you doing? What exactly is going on? Hear me. Y'all went to the ramp and saw my son-in-law, Robert Madu, preach. Is that right? You were there at the ramp. He married my second-born daughter, Taylor. She was pregnant with Evie, their first child. Several sonograms. After a couple as it is, they saw she was a little girl. Checked it again, no doubt about it, this little girl. Well, Robert would come in off the road every week like I do. He's so excited about that girl. He would greet Taylor. He'd hug her and tell her he missed her. And then he'd kneel down on one knee. He'd put his lips on Taylor's belly. He'd say, "Hey, girl, what are you doing? This your daddy talking. What's up, girl? I can't wait to hold you. I can't wait to see you." He'd go about his way, belly getting larger. He'd come back in. He'd kneel down. "How's my girl doing? How's my girl? Oh, your daddy loves you so much, hadn't even seen you yet." They were doing one of the last sonograms because she had to have a C-section. And the doctor wanted to check one more time, one more thing. And the picture was perfect. And the nurse doing the sonogram, Robert, was out of the room. He got home, flew in, hurrying up to be at that last sonogram. And that nurse said, "Wow." Called another nurse. She said, "I've never seen it this clear." Evie was perfectly facing, perfect. Whatever it was in the sack of water, it was clear. And she said, "Wow, you want to know what your baby's going to look like? This is what she's going to look like." Because I'm telling you, those sonograms scare you. When that's your kid or grandkid, and they take them sonograms a lot of times, and everybody's going, "Oh, look at that baby." And I saw a couple of them, and I thought, "My God, E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home." I said, "You sure that's my grandbaby? Top of that head's over here and the jaw's stinking over here, amen. Her foot's wrapped around her nose or either stuck up her nose. I mean, is she okay?" They laughed and said, "Oh, Brother Robbie, it's fine. This was perfect. Her face was right there. If I'm lying, I'm dying." I don't know if y'all heard him preach this or not. He rushed to that room, and when he got there, he hit that door. Her eyes and the sonogram were closed. It was so clear you could see the little black thick eyelashes. And when that daddy, when that father's voice walked in that room, for you that don't think there's anything wrong with abortion and it's up to the women, when that father walked in that room and said, "Can y'all see my baby yet? You got a picture? Have you got it on the screen where I can see her one more time before I hold her?" Just running this evangelistic mouth. So help me, when he entered the room from over here, she was looking to this angle. When she heard the voice inside the mother's womb in that sack of water, he said, "Hey, where's my baby?" Them eyes opened up. She batted them eyes and she turned toward the door. The nurse just sat there looking. She was batting her eyes like she was looking. Oh my God, she heard the voice of her father. She had gained sensitivity. She didn't care about anybody's voice. It was the one that knelt down with his mouth to the belly and spoke into that womb. She knew the voice of the Father. She's 2 years old, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you, ever since she's been born, she's always obeyed the voice of the Father.
She knows it.
But she knows it. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Church Alive. Visiting churches, tag church with all your people tonight. Two of the relevant, cutting-edge, Holy Ghost churches in Central Arkansas that's going to do it together. If you want to hear God's voice, you have to be ready for a total cleansing. But you must be willing to have every sin exposed and cast away. The prophet Isaiah had an awesome vision. The Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Seraphims covered themselves with their wings because of the holy presence of God. They cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah 6:3. God's voice was so mighty, it shook the temple. And at the sound of it, the righteous prophet Isaiah, listen to me, preachers, he didn't dance. He fell on his face and he was crying. When he heard the voice of the Lord shake the pillars of the temple, he said, "Woe is me, the preacher, the leader. Woe is me, for I'm undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, and I have heard his voice." Isaiah was stricken with a sense of sin and uncleanness because God's voice, and we've forgotten this, is not just a directing voice. God's voice, America, is a purging voice. It's a purging voice. He said, "Then when I heard him and saw him, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged.'" Hear me, preachers, laymen, worship leaders, listen. Isaiah could not hear God's directing voice until he had first heard his purging voice. You see, direction and guidance come only after purging. Because if you hadn't been purged, you can't go any farther with the Lord. And thousands upon thousands of God's people flock to meetings constantly. Here we go again. This is a traveling preacher preaching this to you. They go directly for a quick, cure-all word from God. They want a preacher traveling around the world to lay hands on them, to tell them what to do and what the future holds, and something about their financial crisis that they keep getting their own self into. And most of what they hear is flattery. "Thou shalt be mightily used of God. Thou shalt be a witness to the nations. I see you standing in $100 bills. Thou shalt be blessed and prosperous." How many of these people do you think, listen to me, these groupies, how many of these do you think would flock to meetings if the star preacher with the microphone pointed a finger at them, at their heart, and gave them a purging word from God instead of a directing word? If he looked at them and said, "Hey, you in the red shirt, you're still unclean. Hey, you in the suit right there, yeah, with the ugly tie, yes, sir, you right there. You've never let go of your secret sin. You have no vision of Jesus' holiness." What if he said to them, "Sir, yes, yeah, no, not, yeah, yeah, not you, you. You need to repent. You're a playboy." Think they'd run to those meetings then?
Yes, sir.
American culture. We love the directing voice.
That's it.
We don't like the purging voice. Twenty-something years old. Just barely read through the Bible to understand it. Preaching, still didn't get most of it. Didn't fully understand that revelation of it. I just read it like most laymen. I just read through it kind of. Ooh, pastor handed me the mic. Standing on a platform. You talking about God breaking you in? There's someone here tonight with a headache. Lord, show me right now there's someone here tonight that needs a financial miracle. Duh. Y'all know what I'm saying? Duh.
Yeah.
He didn't break me in like that.
All right.
And I talked to him about it. I said, "Lord, I'd like to do the headache deal every now and then." And someone here needs financial something. Because these other things, like that woman over your shoulder that time, That's kind of, it flips those preachers out. Those real carnal preachers, it flips them out. They just doubt when you do it.
I understand. I've even doubted when I did it. There was a woman with the, I'll never forget it, bright red dress. Bright red dress. She's standing about right here with her family. Her dancing wasn't God, it was seductive. It was attention and pride. She wanted everybody to look at her. Because she'd get to dancing, a 50-something-year-old nice-looking lady. She'd get to dancing in her bright red dress, never forget it. And it wasn't like we were doing a while ago. I got to thinking, man, is this Soul Train or Dancing with the Stars? It had kind of a combination that I know what Dancing with the Stars look like now. She acting like, I mean, it's weird. She acting like she had a partner. Then she'd, come on, black folks, she'd cut it loose a little bit. She'd do a little moonwalking. She's doing it all. She was doing it all. And then I just watched her because I was kind of sickened. Something in my spirit wasn't right. And I looked at her again, and she couldn't ever dance like this. She'd always look over her shoulder to laugh at people and wave at them when she's doing it. See if they's looking at her. Woo! And I had that microphone. And it was time for me to say, God bless you and thank you for coming tonight. And you have to leave early. Please come back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The routine. And my ears heard something. My ears heard something. Woman in red dress. Cup your hands. Go down to her. Put your mouth next to her ear where no one will hear. Like you wanted me to do with that lady. Robbie, why didn't you cup your hands? And I cupped my hands, and she was in the midst of one of her Soul Train moves. She bopped. Sit down, devil. And she got that. Did you see how quick that demon in him sat down, didn't it? I mean, Patty's going, God, I'd love to have that in my life to be able to say, sit down, Randy. Okay. She got it. And she's in the midst of breaking it. And I cupped that hand. And the Lord said, tell her the adultery stops now. Because she's in adultery with that man in the brown suit standing over there with his family. Wow. You better get that one right.
Yes, sir.
This one isn't. Yes, you. Yes, you. No, you. No, not you. No, not you. You. You have a headache. And the Lord is going to deal with your headache. Yeah. Red dress, adultery with brown suit. I did. He said, tell her. I said, ooh, could you use someone else tonight? I'm believing, God, tag, you're it. Amen. I'll transfer it. I'll pass the baton. I don't want to do that. Some preacher's begging for God to use them. I'll talk to me, Lord. Give me a word. Give me a word. I want to give people words. Yeah, you're wanting the directing voice.
That's right. That's right.
But you got to be used in the purging before the directing's real. Like you got to hear the purging and obey it voice before you're ever directed.
Right.
Businessmen, whether to make it, whether not, whether to move, whether to stay. Go, stay, hit, road, whatever. We do it on our own. Listen to me, because we don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Took a deep breath. I was nervous as a termite in a yo-yo. That's nervous. A wooden yo-yo. He's so young, he don't even get it. Amen.
He don't know what a yo-yo is.
Go back and play football, man. It's okay. Amen. Come on. A termite in a yo-yo. Wooden yo-yo spins. Termites confused. He's so young. I put my hands and I said, ma'am, I took a breath. Whew, Lord just spoke to me. You're in adultery with the man in the brown suit. Oh, God. You're talking about shutting that dance down. I'll shut your dance down. See, she didn't need to dance. She needed to die. She loved the altar. It was a dancing place. When God was trying to introduce her to the altar, that is a dying place.
That's right.
Where she would die to that part of her that can't go to heaven. She was going to dance her way in a Pentecost church right into hell. Because nobody ever heard the purging voice. There's no telling, preacher friends of mine that came through, how many words of blessing she got in her adultery. No telling when they saw her spirituality, how many times she was called out and told, you're the pillar and the backbone and your worship leading is going to, whoa, you're a prayer warrior. And she just ate it up. But she collapsed on that floor and I said, wow. I was shaking, man. I wasn't going, yeah, take that, woman. You don't do that when he's like that. You feel like Isaiah. I felt unclean. I'm telling you, when he spoke to me, Patty, I felt like I was a sinner. No wonder John the Revelator wrote a book, fell at his feet as a dead man. And I looked over and I was about to turn and walk up and voice said, you're not through yet. I said, yeah, I am. He said, no, you're not. I said, why? God, this is the way I looked in the spirit. Why? He said, brown suit. He was with his family and they had their hands up. I said, get someone in that section over there to use. He said, Robbie, I walked over, brown suit. You're in adultery with a woman in the red dress. It stops tonight, no more. It's over. Shoo! He collapsed on the ground. From that moment on, the Spirit of the Lord showed me what the purging voice is all about. From that moment on, things, listen to me, began to change in a lot of areas. I saw the anointing level literally began to go up. Listen what I'm saying. Once he had received the purging voice of God, Isaiah received direction. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? This is when the famous scripture happened. After the purging, here comes directing. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. He said, go. I'm telling you what your answer is tonight. In a clamorous world, a confusing world, a world that is very distracting. Right now, here's where we are. It's time for you to pull up, for any individual, listen, or any corporate body to go where you need to go. Our people must call and say, waiter, dinner for two, please. I don't need any distraction. I don't want to always worship God with somebody else in the room with me. I don't want to pray all the time in prayer meetings. There's a time when you ought to say, God, you and me about to get together. We're going out to break the bread. We're going out to dip our bread in the wine. We're going to sup together. And you know what? I need a dinner for two. I need to learn before I shout with the shouters and dance with the dancers. I have got to pull up a table and get a dinner. Waiter. Waiter, not three, no two. I need a dinner for two. When people ask me, from 22 to 56 in February 15th, 56 years old, my God, Robbie, many nights of this weekly, all the travel, all the whatever, preaching, praying till I'm falling out, tired. How have you not burned out? How do you do this and not burn out? Yeah. Singing groups in a routine every night, singing the same songs, doing the same jokes, the same routine, it burns them out. Yeah. You got to watch it as a preacher that he's have to preach all the time. It'll burn you out. Pastors get burnt out on preaching. Look at the same faces. How do you keep every night? You can't write a new sermon every night. A songwriter, the most brilliant in the world, the award winner, cannot write a song every week that's worth hearing. That's what's wrong with a lot of our preachers. They preach, but it isn't worth hearing. It's boring. Right. Hear me. Then how do you keep pastor and evangelist from burning out? You've got to learn the secret.
Yeah.
To go on a date with the Lord yourself. To pull up a table for two.
That's right.
Preacher's not being weird, folks, when he says, listen to me, church, I can't take your call right now unless somebody dies or sick. I've got to get alone. You ought to be wanting your preacher to do that. You will benefit and your family. If you want to know God's voice, You got to be willing to do what he says. I just said a mouthful. If you want to know the voice of God, you got to be willing to do what he says. We want to hear the voice of God. We want to hear it comfortably. We don't want it to shake us. Why would he give you something to say if he's not sure you'll obey him? Why talk to you if you won't do what he says? Abraham learned to hear God's voice first by obeying what he had heard. At the time he heard it, God's word to him, a hard word, sacrifice your son Isaac. Abraham acted. It was the voice of God. Acted on that word, and his obedience became a sweet-smelling savor in the aroma in the nostrils of God, and the whole world heard about it. It's 2017, thousands of years after it actually happened, and we're still preaching about that story of Abraham and Isaac. Because in Genesis 22:18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. There's one major cause why so many believers cannot know or understand the voice of God. Pulpit and pew. Listen to this. The leaders of Israel came to Moses and said, I quote King James here, "Now therefore, why should we die? For if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Moses, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. Speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it, we will do it." Deuteronomy 5, 25 through 27. These men were saying to Moses, "We want you to go to God. You hear his voice and tell us what he says to you, and then we'll do it." But Moses reminded these leaders, at one time they had heard the Lord's voice for themselves. Deuteronomy 5:4, "The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount, out of the midst of the fire." God had talked to them personally, like he's wanting to do you, and they had lived. In fact, that very night before retiring, they had agreed. Remember it in verse 24 of that chapter? "We have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and man liveth." Matter of fact, I want to say this to you. The only way that you are going to live in the last generation and really have life and life more abundantly, hear me, you got to be sensitive to his voice.
That's it.
They were afraid of what God was going to tell them. You know why? This morning's message. They were still clinging to idols, golden mice they had carried with them from Egypt. God already had commanded them, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm jealous. Thou shalt not make unto thee graven images. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them." Exodus 20, 3 through 5. And now he was saying to them, "I want all of your heart. Lay down your idols." Amos spoke for God, saying, "Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But you have borne the tabernacle of your Molech and your Chion, your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves." Amos 5, 25 and 26. The writer of Hebrews says, "Israel begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded them." Hebrews 12, 19 and 20. Here's the key. The Israelites, listen to this preacher. Here's what you got to train your people. The Israelites could not endure what God had commanded of them because they could not bear the thought of giving up their hidden idols, their secret sins. They thought, "Moses is meek. He's known as the meekest man on the earth. We'll let him talk to God. Then we'll listen to him. He's led us all these years. He still hasn't caught on to our hidden idols. God sees them, so we don't want to talk with him. But Moses is meek and godly, but he's a man. He don't know everything about us, so we're safe if we get the word from him. He can bless and favor and reward us." And the Lord said of Israel, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever and forever." Deuteronomy 5:29. God's voice cannot be heard when you're depending, woo, on a man's voice. God's true voice cannot be heard if you are depending on a man's voice. Here we go. Israel could not hear God's voice because they preferred welcome to the United States of America church world. It's one reason the miracles have been diluted down. It's one reason people go to Pentecost church at 40 years and they've never seen an undeniable miracle. They depend on hearing God speak through a man only instead of having their ears tuned in to the Holy Ghost. Could this be why you're not hearing him? Perhaps you have an idol. You even got him maybe standing in the pulpit. Maybe you've got a certain minister, teacher, evangelist. They speak to you of good things, of healing, prosperity, faith, and blessings only. But they do not dig into your heart about the sin. You don't want to be searched. You want your carnality left alone. You want only to be blessed. So you listen to the CDs for hours, devouring their messages. But you are feeding on a man instead of on Christ. You're feeding on a man's opinion of the word instead of having your voice to hear. The reason many Christians today cannot hear the voice of God is they have become indoctrinated by a man. And the Bible speaks of this as the worst type of idolatry in the last days. Addiction to false doctrine, false teachers, indoctrination by men who do not speak for God. They only talk about God. I do not speak against these men. And if you've noticed, I've not mentioned names. But hear me, I come against false doctrines that are coming forth, ruining men's souls. And people run into such doctrines half-hearted, confused, shipwrecked. They miss the true blessings, favor of God. It's time for every believer to go directly to the Lord to hear his voice without a man in the middle. You have to learn to be sensitive to it. But you'll never know his voice until he has all of your heart. You know what the answer for your life is, where God will become real to you? Waiter, dinner for two, please. Dinner for two. And waiter, when you serve us, I want you to walk off. I don't want you listening. I need to talk to him. When you sit down at a dinner for two, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I come in and sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. The most intimate thing outside of perversion that godly men could do together. Israel's culture was dip out of the same dish. Sup! He told the disciples, he said, with lust, I have lusted to eat this with you. The original Greek text at the Last Supper, he told them before they partook of it, I have lusted. It's not a sin to lust, it's what you lust after. With lust, I have lusted to be with you in this time. You're worrying about double dipping. You're worrying about double dipping at a Mexican restaurant with chips because somebody dips in the sauce and bites off with their nasty lip hanging on the chip that almost falls off and they grab it and stick it back in there and you're freaking out. Waiter, new bowl, please. When you supped with someone you loved, those men at the Last Supper didn't break a little piece off, dip it, eat it, and pass it. You with me? When they supped together, they held the whole piece of bread. They dipped it in the same dish. They eyeball one another in godly love, concern for one another, gonna miss one another. They bit off the bread, passed it, he grabbed it, dipped it, bit off the same spot, passed it, dipped it, bit off the same spot until the loaf was gone. They filled themselves as they sat together at a dinner for two. The disciples at the Last Supper, though there were that many there, listen to me, they were still as though they were sitting all alone with him. The intimacy level had surged. The intimacy level was huge. The seriousness of it brought the intimacy level. Listen. The context shows in that scripture that Christ was talking to those entering the door that were clothed in white raiment. That's righteousness. They've been bought gold, tried in the fire, whose eyes are anointed, having revelation, who are loved, reproved, and chastened. Verse 18 and verse 19. Listen, we tell our sinner relatives, he's at the door knocking, and he is. But that scripture's talking to us, talking to us that have been so busy that he wants to enter in. All you can hear is open the door. Now we know theologically that Jesus abides in our heart. Listen to this. Yet most of us keep a little place in our heart that we never open up to the Lord. This is the seat of your soul, the very core of your being. It makes up the person that we are. And out of it springs our emotions. This is the room when you sat down at a dinner for two. Here's the secret to greatness in the kingdom. Here's the room Jesus comes to. When he says that he comes knocking, it's that secret place. He's calling. He's saying there's a closed door between you and myself. Something's blocking me from coming in. This door, as I see it, represents a commitment, one that many Christians have not fully made. Most believers pray, Lord, all I need is a little advice. All I need is a few words of direction. I'm saved, but a reminder that you love me. But just let me know whether I'm doing right or wrong. God, before me, open the door. Listen, Jesus answers us. Ooh. If all you want, he told Israel, and he's telling us today.
Yes.
If all you want is direction, I can send a man to give it to you without me even being there. If all you want is to constantly live a lifestyle of hearing my directing voice, I'll send you a black raven to drop food in your lap. But if you won't sit down with me face to face,
yes,
and all you want's direction, you don't understand. You're missing me.
That's it.
You're missing me. Waiter! Waiter! I need a dinner for two, please.
Yes, sir.
Revelation 3 is a wonderful picture of this. Speaks of love and intimacy, sharing secrets, tender voices. Christ is saying here, I want to share my heart with you. I want you to know my ways so that the thoughts you think are my thoughts. I want to be so close to you that my voice to emerge, listen, more and more in your heart. And until your very mind becomes the mind of the Lord operating through you, please listen. He stands at the door knocking. He stands begging. He's asking for a commitment. It's a step of faith that says you will open up your heart, soul, mind to me. And that can't happen through emotions or feelings only. Listen, rather it must be through a commitment of faith that, and a lifestyle of holiness that Jesus, I commit to you. And listen, not to answers, not to direction, but I want to open the door of all I got. When Jesus comes in, notice he brought food. He brought the bread. In other words, he brought himself because I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Except you eat my body and drink my blood, you don't even have any life in you. Those that had an ear knew what he said. The scribes and Pharisees, it freaked them out, that statement. They thought, literally, you're saying to bite into his flesh. They couldn't get it because they didn't have an ear.
That's right.
In the Song of Solomon, we have a picture of Christ wanting in the door. The bride portrayed in Song of Solomon says, I sleep, chapter 5, verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. This is her. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. My head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. The bridegroom in this scene represents Christ. He's knocking on the bride's door saying, open to me, my beloved. My head is filled with dew, meaning I have suffered for our love. Nothing else satisfies the bridegroom but the bride opening the door, because no matter how much you love somebody, you cannot be intimate through the door. The problem with the bride in Song of Solomon is exactly what's wrong with the church today. She loves the bridegroom. She will debate for the truth of the bridegroom and doctrine, but she's too tired to get up and open the door. When he opened and he looked through the hole in the door, he didn't see her laying on a bed with a man. It's not about adultery. She had a white wedding gown on, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish or any such thing. And she wasn't with a man on the bed. But she had fallen into such a deep sleep, she had lost her sensitivity to the voice. I said she fell into such a deep sleep, she couldn't hear the voice that was at the door. He put his hand in the hole of the door. He began to rattle it. He began to wave his hand. All of a sudden, she said, later, my bowels were moved for him. That inward part, that secret place, got up, went to the door, but she went too late. My beloved hath withdrawn himself and was gone. He walked off because he wondered, does she truly love me? Why does she not open to me with anxious jubilation? Why am I so anxious, the bridegroom said, to be with her? Yet she's so unconcerned about being with me. Because people that are in love want to be together. And you don't always want somebody around. I rose up to open to my beloved, but my beloved, my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved hath withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul fell when he spake. I sought him, but I couldn't find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The bridegroom was gone. He still loved her, but his actions said, she has no intense love for me. She has taken me for granted. I have to withdraw for a while until she learns to appreciate who I am. If you want to know, as an evangelist from 1983 to 2017, Mitchell, what's going on in the Pentecost church? Honestly, it ain't negative, Randy. Pastor, it's real. You know what happened to all the faithfulness and commitment? Y'all still looking at me?
Oh, yeah.
Including TAG, the great church, and this one. You know why a lot of pastors, it's pathetic. You know why they can't even have Sunday nights anymore? Because they don't want to be embarrassed. And they're tired of beating their head against the wall preparing messages. And a fourth to a half of the church showing up. I'll just save this for next Sunday morning when everybody hear it. Pastors, tell me I want it. I want the lights on at night. I'm sick of the 12 o'clock scenario. I want the lights on, but Robbie, I can't. What's happened since the 80s? What has happened? Let me tell you what's happened. I've never seen such a lack of commitment, faithfulness, dedication. It's running pastors crazy. It's driving evangelists off the field. They're tired of empty seats. And they're sacrificing from their family. They're missing their kids growing up. They go home at times and the kids look different. And they see wooden pews or empty chairs. And I'm telling you, since the 80s and early 90s to now, I believe the Holy Ghost has withdrawn in a lot of churches because he's got a way of making you crave him. He's got a way of making you crave him. People call that negative in the charismatic circles. You better hear me. He didn't just go away. He knew how to pull away, even with his presence there, to create a hunger for except you hunger after him. That's when he comes in and dines. Let me say it like this. Don't miss this. Preachers, get ready to memorize this and use it. For years, you know how we read the King James and the eloquent scriptures? Those real eloquent ones that are pretty. They're easier to quote because they flow and they're beautiful. I mean, when you quote, seriously, when you quote the King James, I don't, just get a good, study several of them. I'm not picky. I'm not a legalist. But when you quote the King James, I admit it, it's more punch to it. There's something about it. When you quote the Living Bible, it's not as dynamic. And Jesus walked down the road, you know. It's like everything's like that. And they sat down to eat together and said, wow, golly gee willikers, you guys, this food is good. That don't make good preaching to me. I'm sorry. When you're on the moment, you're caught up. kind of like, here's my greatest example. It's kind of like John the Baptist when he stands waist deep in the Jordan River. And he looks up and down the bank comes a long white seamless robe. And the finger that drew and created the river that John is baptizing in is about to be baptized itself. Y'all are going, man, I didn't know that's in there. It isn't. I just said that because it sounds real good and I'm trying to be cliche-ish. It's what happened. He couldn't put everything only in the book that thick. And the hand that created the river is walking down the bank. The King James Version says, and John stood up and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He preached the gospel in one line. You got to watch some of these little weak translations now, especially written by non-spirit-filled people that don't even believe the Holy Ghost is for us today. Behold, the Lamb of God. Everybody stop what you're doing. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And one of those little weak translations said, John saw Jesus walking down the bank. He stood up in the Jordan River and said, look, y'all, here comes Jesus. Isn't it beautiful? I'm going to stick with behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. So I quoted for years in prayer meetings. We started them off in Pentecost. Isaiah. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. Even the youth shall faint and grow weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And man, we had that scripture in those prayer meetings. Come on, y'all, let's get together and pray. Because let's just wait on him to get here. We're waiting on God. Let's just all wait on the Lord. Where, do y'all feel anything? No, I don't feel. Okay, let's keep waiting. We're waiting on God. Let's just wait on the Lord. You know what the word said, brother? Brother, you need to be healed. They wait upon the Lord. Just wait upon him. Wait upon him. Just keep waiting now. Keep praying with one eye open because he's going to show up one day. See, Randy Long, pastor, I didn't come here tonight to meet God. Why do I go to a geographical building to meet him when I got him in me? That's when you call it intimacy. Why do you go? See, Jesus said, the Holy Ghost shall be with you and shall be in you. Why do I go to a meeting called the church to meet him and see if I can see him flying from rafter to rafter? I'm not looking for him flying or angels either. Here's the reason. I got him in me. Are you ready? So we're off on that scripture. It don't mean that. The famous Pentecost scripture in prayer meetings, they that wait upon the Lord. It don't mean, Brother Randy, let's all join hands in the prayer of agreement. Hallelujah. And let's wait on him to get here. Are you ready? The word wait there means they that wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Excuse me, waiter. Dinner for two, please. Lord, I'm not waiting on you to show up tonight. I'm not waiting on you to get here. I am waiting on you all my life. I am giving you my life. I want you to eat from something I can give you back.
Is there anything you need, Lord? And they that wait, the original is, upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They are the ones that will mount up with wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. You know what that saying is? Shut everything down.
Yes, sir.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
And say, Lord, what can I do for you? I want to wait on you. I wait on you. Excuse me. Dinner for two, please. Dinner for two.
Oh yeah.
I hear you, Lord. Bow your head tonight. Bow your head tonight. Bow your head tonight. Bow your head tonight. Whew. Bow your head tonight. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We're thinking. We're searching. He is in us. He is in us. Brother Otis, thank you. As you begin to play. If the other team that is here tonight, musicians, could you come, please? The worship team, it was beautiful. Could you come, please, both nights? Thank you. Take your places, please. Now, let's be sensitive to the voice. I had unction talk to me tonight. I thought of things tonight I've never thought in my life while I was preaching. A lot of it. It just kept coming to me. That's the reason I preached an hour at night. You know why? Not 30 minutes or 40. You know why? He was talking to me. I just couldn't say, okay, hurry, Lord, let's do 30 minutes now because we've got to shut it down so we can go eat a hamburger. When we can hear the voice of the Lord, we ought to be like a foreign nation. Please keep going, preacher. I was in Tanzania, Africa, preaching. It was outdoors in 100-degree weather. I was soaked. They were soaked for listening. The voice was cooking and the ears were listening. I stopped in like 40 minutes because of the heat. They did mannerisms for me to continue. I went 15 more minutes, close to an hour. They waved their hand for me to do more, like a finger spinning, like keep going. I went an hour and 15 minutes. My notes had totally ran out. The pastor leaned over and said, they want you to continue. Don't stop in 105-degree weather. Their mouth was open. Their mannerisms of the ears listening touched the voice. At times I choked up because I saw their ears in the spirit. Revelation was pumped out and they were seeing it for the first time. Grown men, mannerisms, they cocked their head like a little puppy when you got a little sandwich for him to eat or whatever piece of meat. They cocked their head and lost composure. Their mouths were open. Literally, some of them were drooling. They didn't even feel the drool on their lip because their ears were open to hear. Tonight, I need Robbie to build my intimacy. Tonight, I'm coming this altar because I need a touch from God. Tonight, I need to hear the word of the Lord. I need to hear His voice. Tonight, I've heard the preach word of God, the voice of the Lord. But I have been needing some direction. I'm going to build this into me, Sir Robbie. I'm leaving here. I'm telling you, I heard purging tonight. That spoke to me, Robbie. I'm going to start seeking Him to purge my life. Tell me what He wants me to do instead of just telling me where to go. Tonight, I'm changing. I've already changed, man. I've already changed before the altar, Robbie. The Word has changed me tonight. Purge me. Now my ears have the wax out. And I can now hear. Dull of hearing, not any longer. not any longer. Stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, not any longer. I hear. I need to be healed. I need to be touched. I need to be filled. I'm battling. This thing's getting the best of me. I need to sit down at a table for two. I'm going to do that. I'm telling my wife and kids, I got to go away just for a little bit. I'll be a new man, a daddy and husband when I come home. I've got to get alone. I heard it tonight. I got to get alone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you're under my voice tonight, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need the Lord to save you. You need to be truly born again. Tonight is your night. I realize most of us are believers, but tonight is your night to be born of the Spirit. You're going to be changed tonight. You're never going to be the same again. Raise your hand up and say, I really need to repent tonight. It's been a day of repentance. That's the way God wanted it. I got to get right with the Lord tonight. 5, 6 hands are going up anymore. I got to get right with the Lord tonight. I mean, a couple hundred came down this morning to get some things. 200 at least came down, get some things out of their life. It was nearly the whole church. Raise your hand up. I got to get things right. Get things right. Amen. Amen. Robbie, tonight I'm going to come down in this altar for my sensitivity to be touched, where I can start hearing Him instead of all the clamorous, strange voices. I'm going to start hearing Him after tonight. I'm pulling up a dinner for two. That's what I'm coming for. He will direct you to your mate. He will direct you what to do. He will direct you, businessmen, on a business deal. You will not make a wrong choice. Who says you got to make the wrong deal at least once to learn from it? Learn from the directing voice of God once you've heard the purging voice. You won't have to lose $50,000 on a deal to learn your lesson. That's a sinner that can't hear Him, that don't have an ear. He wants you to learn by listening. Learn by listening. Are you ready? Raise your hand and say, tonight my sensitivity is going to be touched. Put your hand up. Tonight I'm coming to hear from God. Tonight I'm coming to hear from God. I need a word tonight. I need the Lord. I've already got it, but I need the Lord to speak to me tonight and to direct and guide me, Robbie. I got to have something. I got to have something. Purge me and show me the ties that need to be cut. Purge me, Lord. Show me if this relationship, I'm about to marry someone God don't want me marrying. The mistake of your life, whether you're 18, 25, or 65, is marrying somebody God don't want you to marry. Listen to the voice. He'll purge you from that relationship. He'll cut the tie, and your family won't suffer the rest of their life. Whew! Have grandkids kept from them because you didn't listen to the voice. You married who you wanted to, and your parents can't even sleep at night because of who you married. You need direction? Are you willing to be purged? Stand on your feet tonight. Stand on your feet tonight. Get your hand up. Otis, team, go to your positions. Go to your positions.
Spirit.
Ready? Otis, sing it. Keep your eye on me tonight. If one of you ushers will get me a cold bottle of water one more time, please. 2 bottles. Right now you're standing. Tag Church, you too. Faith Assembly, you too. The rest of you. It's nearly the entire church. Step out tonight. Hands up. You can't go wrong if you respond to the word you heard preach. If you respond to the word you heard preach, you can't go wrong. Step out with your hands lifted. Step out with your hands lifted. Come on, all of you. Don't be scared of the voice of the Lord. You, after I preach this tonight, you ought to be running to it. You ought to be running to it.
Spirit
of God. Come on, team.
We need your presence.
Come on.
Come
on. Rest of you, come on.
Come on. Rest of you, come on. You might be on the mountaintop. Who says he only speaks in the valley? He speaks on the mountain as well. You might be in the midst of a battle, just came out of one. Get down here. Sing it, team, sing it. Come on. Ushers, take your place with me tonight and be ready. We're going to keep everything decently and in order. By the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Sound lady, let me hear their voices a little bit more, please. Sound man or lady, either one, let me hear these vocalists a little more, the clarity of their words, please. Yes, I want to hear that word they're singing. Get your hand up. There's a lot of people. We're going to move quick. Put your hand up in the power of the word, the directing, the purging, the flow of the Holy Ghost. Here we go. Seek God. Seek God. Say, God, let me hear from you. Let me hear from you tonight. Let me feel when the preacher lays his hands on me after this word. Touch my sensitivity. Touch my sensitivity. I'm going to leave this building more sensitive than I've ever been. My ears, God, not my mouth. My ears. My ears. My ears. Everybody in this building ought to lift your voice. Everybody in this building ought to lift your voice. And right now, in the name of Jesus, say, Lord, let me hear from you tonight. Lift your voice and say, sensitivity. It's an ear night, not a word night, not a voice night. The word of the Lord has come forth for an hour. now the sensitivity to the ears. It is an ear night. Let me hear your voice. We know that you constantly speak, but tonight, don't sit down. If you are prayed for, that don't mean you go sit down because it's time to sit. Please learn that. Stay standing. Stay in the presence of the Lord. And listen. Sing it, team. Sing it. Sing it. Sing that word. Dwayne Maynard, direct Dwayne and Crystal to the level this coming Sunday. Let that church be at a place it's never been. Keep going to a place that blows their mind. It literally blows their mind where they're headed. Shock them. Take them to a place. In this building tonight ought to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We ought to bat 1,000 tonight. Nobody ought to leave here without receiving the baptism. Raise him up. Raise him up right where you stand. You that are filled, refill. You that are filled, refill. Patty, let's get you healed tonight. Let's get Patty healed tonight. Patty, come up here. God, in the name of Jesus, Patty needs a miracle in that leg. I'm believing you throughout her body. This arthritis, this opening in the leg, the wound that will not heal. I am believing you tonight. Put your hand toward her. Put your hand toward her if you believe in the directing voice of the Holy Ghost. Put your hand toward her if you believe in the purging voice of the Holy Ghost. Put your hand toward her tonight if you know the reality of what he'll do in the name of Jesus. God, close this wound on her leg tonight. Crystal, come here. Tag First Lady, come here. Put your hand on First Lady, Church Alive. Close this wound. Close this wound in the body. Give her a miracle. God, they've warred the level the church is going to. The First Lady's got to be well. She needs her body. She just don't need her spirit. She needs her body. She's got to have her body to go forward. She can't have an open wound for months and surgery on her leg. Close that wound in the name of the Lord. Close that wound in the name of the Lord. I believe wound close up right now. I believe that stinking rheumatoid arthritis that they say is there. Leave her joints. Leave her body. Leave the bones. Leave the tissue. Leave this woman of God. Come on, everybody, speak with your voice. We've heard the word of the Lord. Speak with your voice. Everybody say wound close. Wound close. Close up in the name of Jesus. Sing it again. Sensitivity. is Brother Maynard's little girl, our firstborn. She can preach, man. I'm telling you, she can preach. But tonight, Haven, I'm not praying for your voice. I've already prayed. When I heard you was going to preach in church, I prayed for God to touch your tongue, for him to touch your voice. But tonight, I'm praying for your ears. I'm praying for the sensitivity of the voice of the Lord. Samuel heard as a little boy in the temple. Put your hand toward her. She's been raised in my revivals as a baby. But tonight I pray for her ears. Ears, be sensitive in the last days. Even at your age now. For Haven, the Lord says for you to continue to seek him with everything you got. For Jeremiah told you that in the day you seek me with all your heart, then shall you find me. You'll only find him when you can hear him. In the name of Jesus, open these ears tonight. She will not, in a clamorous world, in a very distracting world, she will not be distracted with noise that will keep her from hearing the voice of the Lord. Haven, in the name of Jesus. Haven, in the name of Jesus. I take my hands and put them on your physical ears as a physical picture for spiritual things, that it's your spiritual ears that will be open. She's like my little niece. So I pray even now that who she dates, it'll be here before you know it. Dwayne don't like hear it. It'll be here before you know it. Good looking as she is and spiritual as she is, just like the devil to try to send someone God don't want her dating. And I want her to be sensitive with her ears. She will date the right one in the teenage years, because you can marry who you date, so that me and her father do not have to take a handheld cordless microphone and beat that sucker away from her and whip him with a church mic. You hear me? I don't want to have to tell him, get out of here. I don't want her daddy to have to point his finger at him, say, hit the road. I want her to be sensitive to say, you're not the one. Haven, that's not the one. Keep walking, Haven. I, the Lord, will show you the one day. Put your hand up. Put your hand up. Direction. Direction, brother. Come on. He has crossed our path again. The other time was a defining moment in your life. Tonight I anoint you both. Go forth in the name of Jesus. Go forth in the name of Jesus. And be directed by the Holy Ghost. Lead them to what you have for them. Put your hand toward them. I'm hearing tonight with my ears. He wants you to get out of this financial trouble or this that you feel, this tightness. He wants you out of this in the name of Jesus. It has robbed your joy. It's made you have to think about it too much. And tonight, in the name of Jesus, I hear the Spirit saying, give to me. Continue to give to me. Open it up. Stretch a little more. Be sensitive to my spirit. You'll hear the rain. You'll hear the rain come. When the rain comes, it'll be right before the finances. Say, Lord, wash me in your blood right now. Let's call on the blood just a minute. Wash me in your blood. I repent of my sins. I ask for total forgiveness. I invite the purging voice of the Lord to purge me tonight. Tell him, I invite the purging voice of the Lord to purge me tonight. Come on, lift him up. He's not going to embarrass you. God didn't embarrass people in the Bible. He only embarrassed mockers and scoffers. People that mocked all the time. He put it back in their face. He never embarrassed sinners that just didn't live, gave into a sin and just wasn't living quite right. He called them. He convicted them. He pulled on them. He didn't go around embarrassing people. He dealt with them even privately. When they'd pull up a dinner for two, you'd talk to them about their life. Trey Elliott, let me pray for you. Come here, Trey. Old times, Trey. Put your hand up. Musicians, real soft a minute. Trey. I looked at you. I heard a word. I heard it in my ears. Deeper. Go deeper. Deeper. Deeper than you've ever been. Do whatever you got to do to go deeper. Cut what you got to cut. Lay aside anything you got to lay aside. Deeper, Trey. Deeper. Lord said, be sensitive to what you heard tonight because I'm going to be talking to you. I'm going to increase the voice in your ear. Keep the ears to the Spirit open, okay? I'm going to show you where to go to the next level. Company, personally, purging voice. God's even bringing a purging voice to your company. that he might, there might be a directing voice. Remember, the purging verse voice comes first. The directing voice will then come. Okay? Put your hand up in the building, everybody. Pull up a table for two. Act like it's just you and God right now. Pull up a table for two. You have been through a lot, Trey, as a young man. You've been through a lot, the Lord said. But look at you today. I got you where you are. I'm the one that stepped in, Trey. When tragedies hit you, I, the Lord, stepped in. And I directed you from one thing to the other. My compassion towards you was great. I heard you cry out in the midnight hours, even as while driving your car, even while sitting at your desk, I, the Lord, came in that office and I directed you. And I, the Lord, kept you from collapse.
Oh, hallelujah. I, the Lord, will direct you further than you've ever been. Further, deeper, deeper. Directing voice of the Lord. Lead this man into deeper truths. Lead him into spiritual experiences that will create a hunger in him greater than ever. In the name of the Lord. Let him feel. Show him what you want.
Put your hand toward Harrison tonight. I'm going to anoint as an evangelist this baby. Put your hand toward Harrison Long tonight. It's another one of them Long boys. Put your hand toward him. Paul passed through Timothy's mother and grandmother's house. He was on an evangelistic journey. They said, Paul, would you hold Timothy? He held him in his arms. He transferred something in him that later, as a young man, he would write to Timothy and said, stir up the gift that when you were a baby, your mother and grandmother gave you to me. I imparted something to you in their home. But Timothy, it's an eternal gift. Don't ever let it lay dormant. Stir up the gift that was given thee by the laying on of my hands. This is not a ritual. I touch Harrison Long tonight. And I say, as an evangelist in the body of Christ, I'm like Randy Long, his granddaddy. We're veterans. We're not rookies anymore.
Harrison Long, in the name of Jesus, I lay hands on you like Paul did, Timothy. In the name of the Lord, I impart to you a gift. Whatever the Lord severally as he will gives, that gift shall be that dominant manifestation of the Holy Ghost that will flow in Harrison Long's life. As long as Harrison Long, and if the Lord tarries, I will one day see Harrison, and I will say, Harrison, stir up the gift I was given you. February the 12th, 2017. A newborn baby. Somehow you'll know. Stir up this. You're tempted to lay on it. mother be healed. Yes. Mother, the miracle has been given you. You will shout it from the housetop. I have imparted this child to you. You have now given this child back to me. Go forth in the name of the Lord with the hedge and the anointing of God in your life. Be sensitive in your ears, Mother.
Yes.
I will direct you to guide this child into the depths of the Spirit. There's too much seed in Harrison.
Too much seed in him from every side. He don't stand a chance. If the Lord tarries, he will do mighty things. And if he don't tarry, he will rule in the millennium reign. Because the seed of this child has been too faithful. God will honor the seed that is in him. Now raise your hands before we go tonight. Just flow in the Spirit. You've got to learn not to force things, but we flow into them. I don't like forcing traveling preachers. I'm tempted to stop them. They're hurting it. They're hurting the cause. We've heard the word all day today. Do you all sense what the verdict is? Do you sense what he is pounding this church to see today? Deal with the stuff in your house. Make an altar in your home. True biblical repentance. Don't play with grace. Flow in it. Relationship. Tonight, sensitivity, the ears to hear the voice. Get alone with me. Sometime, tag church and Church Alive. I've seen this. When the corporate time is great together, people let off in their one-on-one time. They look forward to Sunday morning because it's so powerful. It gives them their fix all week. It does. And they don't get along with him because that does me. That's good. It did me all week. Ready for next Sunday. It ain't about a Sunday. 24/7. Get alone with him. Pastor Long, do you have anything you want to say to the people other than tomorrow night? I sense with this new group of people, he is building it to that crescendo and that level that we will see. How many of you are going to be faithful tomorrow night? How many of you can come back? I understand some of you can't. How many of you can be here tomorrow night? You can make it. How many of you can be here? How many of you, because of obligations, visitors and church folks, Church Alive, how many of you cannot be here because of obligations of work or you've got something else? You cannot be here. Okay. We will see the rest of you at 6:30. Try to get here at 6:30 and not 6:50. Seriously. Try to get here at 6:20, 6:15 if you can. Walk these altar areas up and down the aisles. Pray. Give him 5 minutes. Let him hear your voice. Then be sensitive. The sisters are at the back table. They're helping me. Many different audio CDs, DVDs, cutting edge relevant messages. I brought about 60 to 70 different messages with me. These are some of the cream of the crop over the past few years that they'll touch you. They'll change your family's life. If you can't get them to come to church, stop back there and get some of those and let them hear audio in their car. Let them hear, watch DVD at home. We will see you tomorrow night. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your faithfulness.
We need your prayer.